If there's one enduring image of the Civil War, it may be the devastating swath cut through the South by Union General William Tecumseh Sherman. Sherman's march laid waste to cities and plantations across several states. Its terrorizing effect helped win the war. But ever since, it's also fueled lingering resentment in the South. Sherman's infamous march is the subject of E.L. Doctorow's new novel. Here's an excerpt from The March.
On this cold, dark day, with the clouds sailing in low from the sound, Savannah was alive with the movement of men and animals. Only the soldiers who were to garrison the city were unmoving at their posts. All else was hectic and tension, with the wind blowing tufts of cotton through the alleys, and even the live oaks in the squares bending and swaying to the wind.
Sherman's march was an early example of what's called total war. As E.L. Doctorow told Steve Paulson, Sherman used a novel military tactic. He forced his soldiers to live off the enemy's land.
He stripped his troops of everything but their fighting equipment and a few essentials. And whatever they needed, they took from the plantations, and the farms, and the cities. They took foodstuffs, cured hams from the pantries, and they took the crops, the sweet potatoes and the corn. They took pigs and chickens. They also took horses and mules for their own transportation. They went through animals rather quickly and destroyed used up animals and took more. So that the effect was devastating to the three states, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina.
Didn't they also destroy much of these areas?
Yeah, when they came to the cities, they destroyed the armories and they appropriated the cotton. Cotton was very important, was the main means of financing the Confederate rebellion. The English were a great market for Southern cotton. As a matter of fact, before Sherman took Atlanta, the English Parliament was thinking seriously of coming into the war on the Confederate side just to assure their supply of cotton. But he also took the railroads and uprooted the ties and twisted them and burned them, melted them into spirals so they couldn't be used again. And whatever infrastructure the South had, he did his best to destroy.
So this was more than just a military operation. I mean, he was not just trying to defeat the Confederate Army. He was out to perhaps terrorize the local population, or at least to beat them into submission.
Well, he had mixed feelings about all of this, having served in the South before the war as a young officer. One of the reasons he was so successful is he knew the territory quite well. He knew the terrain. There wasn't that much of a Confederate army to resist him. There was a lot of guerrilla action, a lot of skirmishes, and a few actions. The biggest wasn't until he got to North Carolina, place called Bentonville. But he wasn't that anxious to engage in battle. His idea was to demoralize the South and to deprive it of its means of sustenance so that it couldn't go on. It was a strategy that worked.
Now, it's worth pointing out that General Sherman had a huge army as he was going through the South, something like 60,000 soldiers. And the way you write about this, it was almost like a beast, an animal that moved on its own. I mean, ostensibly, General Sherman was in charge, but he couldn't really be in charge of all those people. And it wasn't just the soldiers. There were people who would trail along after the army, too, the freed slaves and a lot of Southern whites as well.
That's right. It wasn't only a devastating military campaign, but it was like a great scythe that cut down and uprooted an entire culture, entire nation, in fact. It created thousands of refugees. The freed slaves could not stay behind because there's no civil government. So their security was in attaching to the march, because if they stayed behind, the retribution would be hideous. And then a lot of the dispossessed whites found their security in attaching themselves to the march. So eventually it was a whole civilization on the move, and I thought of this actually at some point as a road novel.
Hmm.
The march became another reality, another state of being, a floating world, and it was the life of nomads.
There's a passage in your book when General Sherman is reflecting back on what he's done, and it's a moment when The Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, comes to visit Sherman, and he chastises Sherman for not incorporating the freed slaves into his army. And Sherman is not happy about all of this, and he's thinking back on all that he's done.
Yes, what happens is that Stanton asks Sherman to leave the room as he, Stanton, questions the local black leaders and ministers about what they think of Sherman.
Sherman was livid. He paced the hallway, muttering to himself, "To catechize these blacks regarding my character. How would any of them be here if not for me? 10,000 are free and fed and clothed by my orders. I have marched an army intact for 400 miles. I have gutted Johnny Reb's railroads. I've burned his cities, his forges, his armories, his machine shops, his cotton gins. I have eaten out his crops. I have consumed his livestock and appropriated 10,000 of his horses and mules. He is left ravaged and destitute." And that is not enough for the Secretary of War. "I must abase myself to the slaves. Damn this Stanton."
The General Sherman you've created in this novel is a fascinating figure, and I presume a lot of your portrait is drawn from history. There's this strange mixture of brutality and courtliness. He's destroyed much of the South, and yet he seems to agonize over what he's doing.
He does have mixed feelings about it. After Lee has surrendered to Grant, he takes surrender from the head of the army that's left in North Carolina, Joe Johnston, General Johnston, and reflects afterwards that the feeling of victory dissolves rather fast and is a shadowy, ambiguous thing. And he says to himself, "I will go on wondering about what I've done." And Johnston and his colleagues, in their, I'm paraphrasing now, in their rage and humiliation, will sublime to a state of righteous, grieved anger that will empower them for a century, which is really what happened if you think about the disaster of Reconstruction and the decades that followed of segregation and lynchings and poll taxes and so on.
Do you think that rage in the South was partly a result of what Sherman had done on his march? I mean, is that what so many white Southerners were reacting to?
Well, you go down there now and you still find people, as I have, who are quite upset about what Sherman did there and unforgiving. So in a sense, there was a formal liberation of the black people in America, but the state of slavery in another form continued to exist. So in a sense, the South did win. I mean, even after the civil rights decade in the 60s and the victories there, Presidents Nixon and Reagan and the two President Bushes made electoral victories out of playing the race card down South. So in a sense, nothing really was improved particularly by that war.
That's a large statement, though. I mean, the war ended slavery, among other things.
Well, it did, but if you look at the subsequent history down there, especially in the Deep South, the lot of black people wasn't that improved.
I want to pick up one thread of what you were saying a minute ago. You were talking about the rage that many white Southerners felt after the war, specifically as they reflected back on Sherman's march and the devastation that caused in the areas where they lived. And I guess there are various historical parallels we could think about. I mean, we could think about how Germany responded after World War I, that resentment that led to the rise of Hitler. And you can only speculate about Iraq right now.
Those are accurate analogies. It was because of the humiliating terms given to the Germans at World War I that really seeded the possibility of someone like Hitler appealing to nationalism and the idea of revenge. We certainly didn't expect, or our leaders didn't expect in Iraq, anything but cheering when we moved in there. But the invasion was so quick and easy that there was a sense of national humiliation there that, as much as anything, probably has fed the insurgency.
E.L. Doctorow. talking with Steve Paulson. Doctorow's book is called The March. Near the end of the novel, once the Civil War has ended, General Sherman reflects on what he's done. Here's another excerpt read by Carl Schmidt.
Though this march is done and well accomplished, I think of it now, God help me, with longing. Not for its blood and death, but for the bestowal of meaning to the very ground trod upon. How it made every field and swamp and river and road into something of moral consequence. Whereas now, as the march dissolves, so does the meaning. And why is Grant so solemn today upon our great achievement? Except he knows this unmeaning, inhuman planet will need our warring imprint to give it value. And that our civil war, the devastating manufacture of the bones of our sons, is but a war after a war, a war before a war.